This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our press conference for 27 addresses. I'm going to open the question for in a second, but I want to get started with the first question, if I may. Screenwriter Aileen Brosh McKenna has said she was inspired to write the story by a friend of hers, who I guess was a perpetual bridesmaid. Have either of you known anybody writing obsessives like that?
Ed.
I never had the pleasure.
I don't believe she really exists. I think Helena made that up.
She made that up. Now she claims that she's getting married now. This.
Yeah, that's the story she told us at dinner that night.
That's then you can use
it. You have the microphone's on the side there for you.
You do not get your own.
How is this experience for you? I know you're getting married in real life, so like, was it lucky or was it everything you ever imagined your wedding to be?
I was very sort of coincidental timing. Though I've been planning my wedding for a year and a half, Fox just decided to release this in January, so that's not my fault. I think it was just interesting because both Mullen and I were planning weddings while filming the movie, and Mullen actually went off and got married and came back to work, and there was a lot of wedding talk, definitely, like all the details, all the planning, and you know how we hoped the day would turn out, and it was just really funny to see Mullen come back to work and you know could not stop saying, "My husband," you know, like over and over. It was awesome. It was exciting.
And do you want a wedding like that, like the wedding you see at the end of yours, or do you want a smaller wedding?
Well, I'm having a smaller wedding, and it's a Christmas wedding, so it's a totally different vibe. But what was kind of great about it is I sort of got to have the best of both worlds. I got to, in fantasy land, have a beach wedding that was beautiful and fabulous and wonderful, and hopefully my wedding will be just as nice.
What's a Christmas wedding?
A Christmas. Or 2 days before.
Is there someone behind me? Okay. Well, Catherine, you've been on quite a roll lately with the show and movies taking off. Did you notice yourself enter another level after this summer?
I think that the nature of my career certainly changed drastically and seemed to happen kind of all at once, so it was hard to, you know, keep a perspective on it. And I think, you know, it's just sort of been the most gratifying and gracious year of my life, personally and professionally. And, you know, I can only hope that 2008 is just as wonderful, but maybe in a different way, because I'm scared to hope that it would be just as awesome as this year.
But how so? Like, what does a hit movie do differently than a hit show?
You know, that's actually an interesting... I don't know. I think the television show... Obviously, way more people actually see the television show than they do the movie. So there's suddenly a huge fan base, which is super exciting. It's always really nice that people actually watch your work and enjoy it. The movie took it to a different level in my career as far as having a film career and being able to, you know, star in a movie and people actually taking that chance on me. And then there's, you know, the constant press coverage and the constant paparazzi and, thing. So all that's very different now. No one used to care if I went to Ralph's. I still don't care.
Catherine, have you ever been saddled with a particularly bad bridesmaid's dress? And what was your favorite of the ones you got to wear in the film?
I haven't yet had to wear a terrible bridesmaid's dress. My sister, who got married in October, was very considerate about her bridesmaids' dresses, and my best friend, who got married like 8 years ago, was also very considerate. You know, no one was trying to make us look bad, which was nice. And my favorite of the bridesmaids' dresses is possibly... Well, I have a couple, but one in particular was the Gone with the Wind. I just really liked it. And I felt very Scarlett O'Hara, which was fun for me. And then, I don't know, a lot I didn't like. Lots and lots. Like 26.
This question is for Catherine. This movie you tell us to is as a bridesmaid. Do you have any experience as a bridesmaid or any memories to attend your wedding?
My sister got married in October, and I was her maid of honor, and it was the first time I really, like, you know, played the role for real. I wish it had happened before the movie, actually, because I would have had a better perspective on why Jane was so insane. But it's a stressful role because you want to make sure that you sort of take care of everything that needs to be taken care of so the bride herself can have an amazing day. But it's also kind of a big honor because, you know, I adore my sister, and the fact that she wanted me there by her side that day was really, really important to me. But it's stressful. I wouldn't do it twice in a day, let alone every other weekend.
You're also a director of very different movies. In which way do you combine your work as director and your work as an actor?
Not sure what you mean by combine.
Excuse me. Not very well, I saw.
Yeah, I don't know how I combine them. You know, it's sort of apples and oranges. When I show up on a set as an actor, quite honestly, it's a great relief not to have to worry about where you're going to put the camera, you know, what color the walls are, or if that scene is in good enough shape to shoot. So I kind of, my career, kind of like, I'll direct one or two movies in a row, and then I'll tell my agents, look, I want to take a year off and find me some acting work so that I can just really go and have fun and, you know, live a life of leisure like you do when you're kind of just acting in a film. So that's kind
whatever.
Of
my whatever.
Can you talk about the scene when you're in two weddings in one night and going back and forth and having to change so many times?
Yeah, that was, you know, what I love about film is that it's really exaggerated, and I can't imagine anyone ever really doing that because it's close to impossible. I mean, there's no way she could have gotten back for both electric slides at both weddings. It's impossible. But it was a really fun idea, and I think it's a great way to sort of started off getting a very honest and real look at who Jane is. It's you know immediately what kind of girl she is from that moment on.
I'd like to ask both of you, is there ever a moment or a situation in your life where you could be that stoic and that selfless to not say what you really think and hold it in that long? I don't know how she did it.
Yeah.
But you too, Adam, can you be that way? Can you keep your mouth shut when you think you should sometimes, or do you just tell it like it is?
Well, obviously, I always tell it like it is.
Yeah, and I can actually dummy up when I need
But selfless thing, though. Is that something that you feel that you've ever been able to accomplish? Because it's hard.
I think in terms of not wanting to hurt people's feelings, you know, or people you really care about, that maybe what it is they need to hear isn't what they need to hear in that moment, and, you know, you kind of pick and choose your moments to be brutally honest. But I've never been as selfless as Jane. You know, I think most women have been in a position of being a real people pleaser at one time or another in their lives. I kind of got over that in my early 20s. Took Jane a lot longer and in a way more dramatic way. But, you know, I sort of think that if you couch how you feel too often, then you're not really being true to yourself, and you don't even then know yourself and what you want. So, Ed.
Great. The same thing.
Hi, Kate.
Hi, darling.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. I'm doing a big interview with James Marsden tomorrow for the New York Daily News, and it's going to be sort of about the romance of weddings in movies. And so two questions. Did you have favorite wedding? And in the press kit, you said something about you'd always wanted to do a film like this. Did you specifically want to do a wedding movie? Do you love wedding movies? And do you love weddings? You're kind of a chick that loves to go, you know, ride a wedding.
You know what? I am not that kind of girl, really, and I haven't been to very many weddings. I've only been to a total of 4 weddings in my whole life. One was my friend's, who was a bridesmaid at, but that was so long ago I barely remember it. And it was also a Mormon wedding, so you don't actually get to go to the ceremony. You just are there for the reception. And then an ex-boyfriend's brother's wedding, which I don't really remember either. And then recently, Kate Walsh's and my sister's. And at Kate's wedding, I was so, like, not going to cry. I mean, it didn't even come into my brain. I had nothing on me, no tissues or anything. And And I was looking at people with their tissues and stuff, like, oh, you guys are lame. Like, it's not that dramatic. And as soon as the music started, I started crying. I mean, she hadn't even walked out yet, and I was crying, and I was, like, sharing a corner of tissue with Keisha Chambers, Justin's wife, like, trying to stop the flow. So obviously I'm a little more sentimental than I originally thought, and I do love a great wedding. That was a particularly awesome and fun wedding with a gospel choir and everything. And my sister, I mean, come on, it's my sister. She, you know, it was the most glorious day, and she was glorious, and it was perfect, and I cried pretty much constantly. But I wanted to do this movie not because it was a wedding themed, but because I loved the character so much, and it was such an awesome opportunity to get to do some comedy as well and not just be the foil or the girlfriend or the daughter or the sister or whatever, you know, but to actually you know, play a major part in the comedy, which is what I love to do. So that's sort of what I meant in that regard.
Catherine, I had actually been a bridesmaid 8 times, and I'm still single. So,
so you hated
single.
This movie.
I'm related. So I have to ask, do you or would the character have any advice for single women out there?
You know what? I met my fiancé when I wasn't looking, and I know it's such a cliche thing to say, and it doesn't really help all that much, because what does that even mean? But I had sort of given up on the idea of marriage and family, and, you know, I kind of had a relationship that ended. I was really disappointed. I had all these high hopes for it, and I just went, screw it, I don't need a man to have... That's so rude! Who is that? My God, who would dare? I don't even know who that was. But yeah, I sort of gave up on the concept of it and figured I could do it on my own. If I wanted to have a family, I could do that on my own. And then, boom, like I met this guy that I couldn't imagine living without. So it was, I think the more you want it and the more you're looking for it, the more you sort of repel it for whatever reason. I don't know why. But if you kind of create this sort of vacuum and let it life take its course, you tend to free yourself up for the unexpected, and I think especially for Jane in 27 Dresses, Kevin was clearly the unexpected choice for her, but that's what ended up working out once she was able to kind of let go of her ideals. Not that would be bad, she didn't let go of her ideals, but her idea of what the perfect man would be, which was clearly not George.
Clearly.
Catherine, how did you identify with the character? And if you didn't completely identify with her, how did you get into the role?
I identified with aspects of her. I mean, she was sort of an extreme, but I've met women like her and have known women that have been very sort of taking a backseat to what everybody else wants and not really going after their own happiness. And what I loved about Jane was the progression of her character, that she starts out so just a doormat, you know, and... there are very sort of clear and honest reasons for that. Her mother dying when she was little, her relationship with her sister. You could kind of understand why she doesn't go after George, because she's his assistant. You know, she works for him, it would be unprofessional. And at the same time, it's easier than proclaiming your love for somebody and being turned down. So she's sort of chosen the path of least resistance for herself, even though it ends up hurting her. And by the end of the movie, you know, through sort of that dramatic scene where she ruins her sister's wedding, she's able to sort of break the habit of it and find happiness for herself and make that a priority, which I liked.
When was the secret to a great relationship?
The secret? I think laughter and communication, personally. That's what really works for Josh and I. Mm-hmm.
Separate bathrooms.
That too.
Very important.
I haven't really. You?
On the set of this film.
Can you talk a bit about could you both, about how romantic you are and what romance means to you? You know, is it flowers or is it, you know, something more simple?
Well, that
question.
He hates it. Yeah, a scale of 1 to 10, I'm probably like a 7. So, I'm fairly romantic. Flowers, wine, bubble bath, maybe. The mood strikes me. No, I have no idea. I guess, you know, I'm relatively romantic.
Yeah, yeah, she's still around. So obviously she's you're doing something right. I'm not terribly sentimental. I have my moments, but generally speaking, I really sort of shy away from being too lovey-dovey. I don't know why. I must have issues I must probably need to address. But, you know, I think Josh's biggest complaint is that, like, when he's on tour and we're talking on the phone, I'm like, yeah, I love you too. Like, you know, I'm not going to be like, I miss you so much, I love you. Like, I just can't. It's just not my thing. But I definitely try, you know, certainly on special occasions or even just spontaneously to do something really special for him. And that could be as simple as making dinner or, I don't know, tickling his back, whatever. But, you know, I don't make big grand gestures generally. Maybe I should.
Bubble bath.
I thought you were going to say something else.
Forget about tickling that back.
Catherine, first off, congratulations on your Golden Globe nomination.
Thank you.
Sort of a serious question. You know, if the Writers Guild does not grant a waiver for the show, have you given any thought to whether you will cross the picket line and attend the show or whether you would not?
I suppose it depends on who else would cross so that I wouldn't get in trouble. No, I've been asked by my guild not to cross the picket lines, and I think I have to respect that. I'd be really uncomfortable doing that because I think it makes a really big statement that I'm not sure I want to make. But the reality is I really, really, really want to go. So I would really like it if they get their waiver because I think it's just an awesome, fun night to celebrate. And I think this community deserves that once a year. Or 14 times a year. There's like 14 different award ceremonies. It's kind of the most special.
And your character is just about perfect. I mean, the guy loves dogs. He's got his own business. He's, you know, are there guys like that out there? Do you know any?
The perfect guy you start with loves dogs.
No, there aren't guys like this.
He's sort of like, it was a little bit like playing sort of like a cartoon or a caricature of some kind of perfect guy. So that's no, they do not exist.
Dashing all hope, Edward Burns.
Ed, you talked to me, you were just saying, and I remember you saying on the set as well that it was wasn't like hugely challenging. You just said now that maybe directing is harder work. Can you talk about that just a little bit more? I mean, is acting not a big challenge?
No. Acting is a challenge. Playing George, not necessarily a big challenge because he is, you know, he's supposed to, he's there to serve this story. You know, so my job in this film is really like listen to Ann Fletcher, our director, and make sure that, you know, he's a version of a straight man for Katie and Mollen to kind of like, you know, the hijinks surrounds him, and you know, my role was to kind of like play it straight. So that, you know, kind of like what you were saying before, it's like it's a great pleasure when you get to play the lead and you're not just the the girlfriend. Because when you're playing the girlfriend, and in this case, I'm the girlfriend. You know, it's like you're there to just do your job. So in this case, this was an easier role than some others. And certainly directing a film is tougher than, you know, putting on George's suit and hair and, you know, hitting your marks.
It was pretty hard for you to hit your marks.
Yeah. Drunk every day on set.
Before I start my questions, could you tell me that your sister is a younger sister or older sister?
She's older. Way older. No, I'm just kidding. She's like 4 years older.
My question is, how do you juggle Grey's Anatomy's hectic schedule and the discipline? Particularly, the coincidence of the character name is George.
I know.
So tricky in right now this season. So
yeah.
So how did you kind of...
I don't know. It's really funny because Ann Fletcher, the director, had said to me like I don't know, 5 weeks into filming, maybe we should have changed George's name because this whole season was going to be me and TR and George and Izzy, and it was kind of weird. But I said, you know what, if it were TR playing this role, I would say, yeah, you should probably change the name. But since it's not, we can work with it and it's totally fine. But it's just been a very whirlwind you know, year of work, which has been thrilling and exciting, and I kind of keep saying that I spent enough years napping a lot and doing nothing but watching Survivor, so I've kind of reserved energy, so I'm good. I feel okay.
One last question, okay.
I love the scene where you sing Betty and the Jets, and I just wondered if you could talk a little about doing that and with James.
It's my favorite scene because it was sort of the most fun to film, and it's one of those great sort of fantasy fulfillment moments where there's no way in hell I would ever do such a thing or ever get drunk enough to do such a... Well, probably not. But, you know, it was so fun to get to actually be that person for that day of filming, and Jimmy is, like, stupid funny and fabulous, so it made it really easy to play off of him, and the only problem is that he can actually sing, and he has a really great voice, which I felt was a very unfair advantage, so I asked him to please work to sing badly, so that I didn't look like such an idiot. And I don't know, it was a really long day, but it never got old, take after take. It was just the most fun to do, as long as the scene that.
Tough work.
Thank you, but we got to jump to the next round. So.